Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey everyone, you listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. I hope everybody's having a great Monday. It's going to be just me today. We're going to talk about the college playoffs. Actually, more about the conference championship games and how that kind of fits in with LSU's job opening. And I want to just have a theory, not so much inside information, but just a theory of probably why LSU didn't have a coach name by now. We're also going to talk about LSU basketball. I'm excited to talk about that. I've been watching the Tigers play basketball, and they look really good. We'll talk about the basketball team. We're going to talk about the LSU-Texas A&M game, which is a big win for LSU, obviously, to be able to go to a bowl game for these kids and to get 15 more practices for the new coach to look at the what he's going to inherit. And I think it's going to be great for the university. It was a must-win. It was a big win over A&M. Just for recruiting purposes in the state of Texas, and just for mentally for people to just hit the reset button for LSU, you know, get rid of all the negativity and just look at the future. And, you know, even though half the team's gone, we're going to talk about that, how impressive it was winning with half the team not even playing, which is incredible. Let's go ahead and get into the LSU job opening. And this segment, we'll talk about the job opening. And here's a theory. So anytime a coach is not hired in a situation like this, just history, just following it and being around this for a long time, like a lot of people. I mean, I'm not the only one. There's thousands of people out there that have seen coaches' jobs and how this goes down every year. You always have to wait till a game to be played. And usually that's a conference championship game because they need to get that game in. They don't want to leak out because then their team would, you know, probably not play as well, or it would, you know, disrupt the program, you know, all that stuff mentally for these young kids. So here's the theory. And by the time this show is out, they might have their coach, but I doubt it. I think the coach would be named probably middle of this week. And maybe late this week, it just, you know, maybe they want to announce it after this Saturday, you know, because there's conference championship games. But, you know, maybe they tell this coach, hey, we got to announce it by Wednesday. We got to get it out. But it's got to be some of the teams that are in the conference championships, not so much the playoffs. Teams that might get it in the playoffs, though. And it could be a pro coach. I've always thought it was, if it was a pro coach, it would be Matt Rhule, you know, from Carolina Panthers. I thought Matt Rhule did a great job at Temple University, and then he did a phenomenal job at Baylor. And what I like about Matt Rhule is that he likes to recruit. A lot of pro coaches don't like to recruit. And so if you hire Matt Rhule, he's got a lot of experience as a college guy. You know, that's not always the case with these pro guys. You don't want to hire a pro guy that doesn't like to recruit. So if LSU goes college, you got Oregon that's in the conference championship game. So that's Mario Cristobal. You got Utah who's in the conference championship game in the Pac-12. That's Kyle Willingham. You got Baylor's Dave Aranda, who's in a conference championship game with the Big 12 this weekend. You got Alabama. Yep, I'm going to mention it. You got Nick Saban going to Atlanta to play Georgia. You got Cincinnati's Luke Fickell, who I've always loved. I think he's a young Nick Saban. Cincinnati's going to play in their conference championship game. And you got Oklahoma State. That's right, Coach Gundy is playing in the Big 12 championship game against Baylor. So those are guys that I think could be any one of those guys, and all of them are phenomenal coaches, but I preferably like Luke Fickell from Cincinnati and Dave Aranda from Baylor and Kyle Willingham from Utah. Those are my favorite coaches, and you know, for the LSU job. Or Matt Rhule for Carolina Panthers. But like I said, sometimes it's these college coaches want to hold off till they play their championship game, and then, you know, if they got to tell their team before a bowl game, they do it. If they got to tell their team before the playoffs, then they'll do it if they have to. But they'd like to get their championship game in. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk the LSU-Texas A&M game and just kind of recap the game and talk about some key notes. Huge victory for the LSU Tigers over Texas A&M on Saturday. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. In this segment, we're going to talk about the LSU-Texas A&M football game. We're going to recap the game. Just some interesting notes to go over. This was on the internet. You know, some people saw this, some people didn't. But Jimbo Fisher has four losses on the season for the Texas A&M Aggies. They were ranked number 14 in the country. Our fans might not have realized that. They were ranked 14, which was a big win for the LSU program to go on in the game 5-6. Needing to win to go to a bowl game, LSU. Since 2018, Jimbo Fisher won 8 games in 18. In 19, he won 7 games. In 2020, Jimbo Fisher won 8 games. And in 2021, he's got 8 games with the possibility of 9 games. If there's not a lot of opt-outs, he might not win his bowl game. You know how that goes. That trend's changed a lot for college football. And just to give you a little perspective on the A&M job, before we get into the game, former head coach Kevin Sumlin, in 2012, his first year, won 10 games. 13, he won 8 games. 2014, he won 7 games. In 2015, he won 8 games. He had a 662 winning percentage in 6 years at A&M. He was 51-26, 3-2 in bowl games, and the 2012 SEC Coach of the Year. And he had a Heisman Trophy winner in Johnny Manziel, and he got fired. So, well, the reason I mentioned Kevin Sumlin, because Jimbo Fisher, in 4 years, has never hit 10 wins like Sumlin, and his record's not any better than Kevin Sumlin's first 4 years. You know where I'm going with that, right? In year 5, it might be one of those things that if he wins only 8 or 9 games again, then he might be let go in year 6, just like Sumlin. Because I think the boosters have about 6 years they'll give you if they give you a huge contract, if you have any success at all. Let's talk about the LSU football team. And I did some notes on this. I did a little bit of, I don't know, just some notes on the team. LSU won the game 27-24. And I just want to mention this to the people listening. Of all the players that did not play in the game. Now, these are just players that actually were either going to start for LSU this year or opted out or got hurt or for whatever reason did not play. This is the defense players that didn't play. This is going to blow your mind because I think we tend to forget who didn't play. LSU won with a half a team. People can think of Derek Stingley not playing in Eliza Ricks, okay? Those are pretty obvious. In your defensive end, Ollie Gay. But here's the other guys that didn't play. Defensive tackle Joseph Evans. Defensive end Mason Smith. Defensive end Andre Anthony. Strong safety Sage Ryan. Free safety Jordan Toles. Strong, the linebacker. Buck Strong transferred out. He was also playing prior to, you know, weeks before he left the team. Major Burns, safety, who played a lot, started. He didn't play. Landon Jackson, defensive end out of Texas, did not play. Jarrell Cherry, who's been a key reserve at D-line, did not play. And Jared Small, who was going to start this year at linebacker from Catholic High, out for the year with an injury, did not play. Do you realize how much talent that is that did not play on defense? And on offense, Miles Brennan did not play. Kashawn Boutte, John Emery, Coy Moore, who transferred out at receiver, Deion Smith, the receiver from Mississippi that started the first few games, Brian Thomas, Amani Goodwin, the running back from Alabama, Chasen Hines, Charles Turner, and Anthony Bradford, all offensive linemen that started this year, did not play against Texas A&M. Do you realize that LSU might be the only college football team in the country to beat a top 15 team without potentially 15 starters going back to the first game of the season? That just blows my mind. I mean, and look, just we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about LSU and the A&M game. When we come back, I'm going to mention the guys that stuck it out and were able to stay injury-free and that really played their butts off this year. And congratulations to those LSU Tigers. Unbelievable, man. That's a lot of talent not playing and beating the number 15 team in the country, Texas A&M. We're going to be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Our last segment of the show, I'm going to talk about LSU basketball. But right now, I want to talk about the players' fellowship that really impressed me, and I know all the fans are super impressed on guys that really stuck it out, didn't get hurt, didn't opt out, and really made this a great, a respectable season, not a losing season. Beating A&M was a big win. I mean, LSU's last losing season was 1999. And they're able to keep that intact without having a losing season. But look, these are guys that stepped up this year that I just want to mention that I think just, man, I mean, they held the rope for LSU. But defensive end Sony Fanua, who's out of Utah, signed with LSU out of a junior college, ended up being a phenomenal player for LSU this year. Had a great game against A&M, actually against Alabama too. My hat's off to you, Sony, for sticking in and not leaving and being a leader. J-Ray Jenkins with that game-winning touchdown had two TDs in the game, had 169 yards receiving. Man, he really stepped up against Texas A&M. Dwight McLaughlin from Texas, originally from Plain Dealing, Louisiana, by the way, cornerback from Texas. It's really done a great job for LSU with Stingley being out and Eliza Ricks, you know, and Jordan Tolles and Sage Ryan and Major Burns. He's done a phenomenal job. And also, speaking of DBs that has really done a phenomenal job, is Darren Evans, a senior, who came over from Nicholls State. He has another year if he wants to come back. I think he's really night and day from his junior year from last year when he came over from Nicholls State. But Darren Evans has really done a phenomenal job out on an island as a corner. Jack Mashburn, man, what can you say about former walk-on Jack Mashburn from St. Paul's High School? Was a quarterback in high school, watched Jack play at quarterback at St. Paul's, played receiver at St. Paul's too at the end. Man, he's done a phenomenal job blocking for LSU. Marlon Martinez on the O-line has done a phenomenal job. Marcus Dummerville, another O-lineman, they were teammates at St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I thought Garrett Dillinger's done a great job for LSU. He's playing out of position. He's playing tackle. He's a guard, but he's a true freshman out of Michigan. Cameron Lewis has really been lights out at safety for LSU, a senior from Wasman High School. Micah Bakersfield is phenomenal this year as a linebacker from Evangel Christian. And finally, the guy Damone Clark has had one of the best years I've ever seen from a linebacker. He's played out of his mind. 136 tackles, leads the nation in tackles for a linebacker, and maybe anybody right now. Has, I think, 5.5 sacks, something like that. Had 2 sacks on the final drive against A&M. He's just playing out of his mind. I think he deserves the Buckus Award. I really do. They usually give that to a team that's in the national championship game or in the playoffs, which I think they should give it to the best linebacker. And that should be Damone Clark from Southern Lab High School, who I've been watching since he was a sophomore in high school. Damone, man, just high five to you. What a phenomenal season. It's just great to see a guy blossom his senior year and everything come together. And he took so much criticism his junior year about how he was, didn't know this or that. Even the beginning of the year, and I just thought it was, you can't give up on kids, They sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years for it to all come together, and it did. Same thing happened to Deion Jones when he was here from Jesuit. He wasn't an All-American his first 2 years. It took some time, even with Kendall Beckwith. Remember Kendall Beckwith from East Feliciana? It took him his final 2 years for everything to come together, and he was a great linebacker, but not like this. Damone Clark is going to be I think he's going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft. I think he's going to be it's linebacker you now, man, with Devin White in the NFL and Kevin Minner and all the linebackers from LSU that are in the NFL. Alexander with the Saints. I can go on and on with the linebackers. Duke Riley with the Miami Dolphins from LSU. There's a bunch in the NFL from LSU at linebacker. We're going to take a break, and we come back, I'm going to talk about the Texas A&M team and why it was so impressive for LSU to beat them because of their defense. We're going to talk about how good their defense is because of how many guys are going to go in the NFL draft on that Texas A&M defense. I just want to make a point on why it was impressive to score 27 points on them when they basically shut down Alabama and beat Alabama this year. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. We're talking about Texas A&M in this segment and why it's so impressive what the LSU offense did without half of their starters since the first game of the season, which I mentioned earlier in the show. But let me point this out for the listeners. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are about 9, potentially 9 players for Texas A&M that'll get drafted this year on their defense. Let that sink in for a moment. LSU did not beat a team with no talent. And here's what's more impressive. The defensive line for Texas A&M, they have four players that are going to go in the first 3 rounds of the draft on their D-line. Tyree Johnson, who's 6'4", 250. Michael Clemens, who had the 3 sacks against LSU, he's 6'5", 270. DeMarvin Leal, who's a junior, he's going pro. He'll go first round. Michael Clemens might go first round. Tyree Johnson will probably go in the first 4 rounds. And then there's Jaden Peavy, who'll go in the draft at 6'6", 315. So they're starting 4 on the D-line. Will all go in the first probably 3 or 4 rounds. 2 will go in the first round probably. So if you ever got upset at Max Johnson during the game and you ever got upset on how many times he got sacked, like myself, I was upset. I'm like, man, get rid of the ball. Stop holding it. But guess what? You're going against the best defensive line in the college football. I didn't say the best defense. The best defensive line in college football to speak for itself come the NFL draft. And I got to give it to Max Johnson. He hung in there at the last moment, brought his team down there 85 yards, didn't give up. That impressed me more than all the sacks he took and as much as that, everybody probably was upset He hung in there at the last second and threw a perfect pass to J. Ray Jenkins to win the game. And I think his coaching will be better with the new coach. I think he regressed, but I think he's done some things this year. His toughness cannot be denied. He's a tough kid, and I think, you know, how did he develop? Where does it go from here? We'll see come spring what Nussmeier, him, and Walker Howard, we'll let the best man win, right? But right now, he did do what he needed to do with half an offense, right? Half an offense against a great D-line. And think of this. They have a linebacker for A&M that's going to get drafted. His name is Aaron Hansford, who's got over 70 tackles. He's 6'3", 240. He's a senior. And then two of their DBs, Miles Jones, who didn't play in that game, and Leon O'Neal, are going to get drafted as well. And also Keldrick Carper, who's from Plain Dealing, Louisiana, did not play in that game, will get probably drafted. And Damani Richardson, a junior safety, will probably get drafted if he decides to go pro. And on offense, Isaiah Spiller, who's a redshirt junior running back, will probably go in the first four rounds if he goes pro, along with the best tight end in America, will probably go pro in Jalen Weidenmeyer, their tight end, who is 6 foot five, 250 pounds, runs a 4.640. Just wanted to throw that out there, how talented A&M really was. We're going to take a break. When we come back in our final segment, we're going to talk LSU basketball. We'll be right back.
Come and visit the majestic mansion in the marsh, Grove Savan Waterfowl and Wildlife Lodge. Grove Savan is the true sportsman's paradise. Grove Savan Lodge has everything for you, from fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and eco tours. Located south of Lake Charles, call 337-598-2357 or visit www.grovesavant.com for more information and schedule your trip to the majestic mansion in the marsh, Grove Savant Waterfowl and Wildlife Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I hope everybody's having a phenomenal Monday. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to everybody, by the way, from me and my family. I hope everybody ate enough turkey and dressing and fixings, as they say, and I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I try not to eat too much. But we're in this segment, we're going to talk about LSU basketball, the men's team. They're 7-0. They just beat Wake Forest 75-61. I did watch that game. I was flipping back and forth between channels with the LSU football game because it came on at the same time. I did watch LSU against Penn State and Belmont and all the other games they played, ULM of Monroe, to get to 7-0. I am extremely impressed with this team's defensive effort. I mean, LSU's given up, you know, over 12, 13 steals a game. They're getting creating turnovers every game. And I think this team, once they get their offense going, like once they start to shoot well, it's scary how good they're going to be. But on a defense, we've all wanted LSU to have a defense under Will Wade. And you don't see a lot of that in college basketball anymore. But, man, when they press with Eric Gaines and Xavier Pinson, and Tari Eason, and Brandon Murray, and Monty Wilkinson. Man, when they press Alex Fudge, this is one of the best groups I've ever seen in pressing. They had 22 turnovers they created against Wake Forest. And I'm going to tell you something. Tari Eason is the real deal. That guy is 6'8", 215 pounds, transfer from Cincinnati. I don't know where he'll go in a draft, if he would even get drafted, but, man, he looks phenomenal to me driving to the basket. He could shoot, and he plays D. I mean, Tari Eason is one of the best forwards in the SEC. And then your center, Efton Reed, who's 6'11", has a smooth shot. He doesn't really ever take a lot of bad shots. And he's got such a great game. He's a good shot blocker. When that gets better, man, he's going to be dominant. And you got Darius Days, who's trying to develop a game back to the basket. He's starting to improve on that, besides shooting threes. And Alex Fudge, the 6'8 freshman from Jacksonville, Florida. Man, this guy is just he's a phenomenal athlete. He was 11 points off the bench this past game with 2 rebounds, 11 points, a lot of dunks. Xavier Pinson's been a heck of a point guard from Missouri, the transfer. Handling the ball, driving to the basket, you know, passing the ball. He's done a smooth job. And Eric Gaines, man, that guy brings so much energy to LSU. When Eric Gaines comes in, he just disrupts everything. Brandon Murray, he's becoming a really good three-point shooter and actually a good, tough guy at two guard. Monty Wilkerson's one of the best defensive guys in the league at 6'5", about 215 pounds. And we still haven't seen a lot of Jarrell Culbert yet, who's a 6'10" center who's got a great future. And also a reserve forward by the name of Bradley Ezra, who's from California originally. I think Crenshaw High School originally, the old school John Williams went to, remember that? But Bradley's 6'8", 260 pounds of muscle. He looks like an offensive tackle with feet in basketball. I think this team is the real deal. I think they're very defensive. They remind me of Arkansas last year. You know how Arkansas was scrappy last year? And if it wasn't for Baylor being such a hot shooting team in the Final Four, I think Arkansas would have won, but Baylor just couldn't miss last year. Ask Gonzaga that, man. Baylor just could not miss. If he shot 60%, they'd shoot 70%. But this LSU basketball team, once they start shooting the ball better to go with their defense, man, it's going to be a great team. Now, the SEC is going to be tough. I mean, there's a lot of teams ranked. You know, Auburn, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, you know, Alabama. A lot of ranked teams. Mississippi State's got a lot of talent. Ole Miss will be good, you know, well coached. Everybody in the SEC, Missouri's got a chance to be pretty good. Georgia's got a chance to be decent. It's gonna be a tough conference. Texas A&M, I'll watch. They're gonna be they're a tough team this year, a little bit better. I'm gonna go ahead and go on the record and say this LSU basketball team will win about 23 games this year. Maybe 24. In a normal year, he'd win 20, 21, you know, with a good team, decent team. But I would say this is about four more wins than a normal team for Will Wade. I'd say 24. Now, I'm not counting the SEC tournament. I'm not counting them winning a game or two in the NCAA tournament, which could happen, I think. This team could be a Sweet 16 team. And I'm going to tell you, they could be a Final Eight team if they start shooting the ball better, and they will over time. They got so much young talent. It's a very young team that's going to be better, better, and better, you know, outside of Darius Days, the senior from Gainesville, Florida. Isn't it weird to say that you have a starter on your basketball team that's from Gainesville, Florida, that got away from the Florida Gators and Darius Days? I'm so happy Darius came back. He's such a great guy. It's good to see a guy like this come back for his senior year, play all 4 years, not go pro, didn't transfer out. I have a lot of respect for Darius Days. And when he's shooting a three and he's on, he's good for about 7 or 8 threes. When he's not shooting really well, I think he's starting to develop his game with his back to the basket, and he's starting to drive. He's starting to do more of that, which I think is smart. You know, because when SEC play starts, he's going to need that. He's going to need more to his arsenal if he wants to play in the NBA. He's never going to be a vertical guy that's going to jump up and rebound a lot, but he's going to be who he is. You know, he could be a small forward that shoots and never be a great defensive guy, even though he plays hard. But, just, you know, I think he's developing his game, and I'm glad he came back for his senior season. I think Pinson and Gaines, the two guards for LSU, give this LSU team a chance to do some special things this year. I really do. And this center, Efton Reed, like I said, and Tari Eason, they're phenomenal players. Fudge is going to be phenomenal as well. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Again, I thought, you know, we just want to cover some tracks on what's going on. I'm not going to predict the next LSU coach because I'm like a lot of people. I don't really know who they're going to get. I thought at one time that Oklahoma's coach was going to be a guy they went after. Now, what happened? Did they offer him? Did he turn it down? I mean, whoever knows? Who cares? I mean, but LSU's athletic director, Scott Woodward, always had a list of five guys. It's not just one guy. And he's not going to be put in a position where he's got to scramble and find a guy. He's done this before. And I really believe the only name I did not mention today that could be the head coach at LSU when it's said and done is Chris Peterson, who was the former Boise State head coach and Washington Huskies head coach, because Scott Woodward hired him at Washington. And he's a great coach. I mean, he's still like mid-50s, still fairly young, got out very young. Remember when they lost to Alabama in the playoffs a few years ago, Washington did, and he just stepped away? He's a highly intelligent guy, knows how to build a program. He can recruit, and he's just one of the best in the business when he was coaching at Washington. Chris Peterson, remember? So that's a name to really keep an eye on in the end. I would prefer Dave Aranda at this point, and that would be the guy that I would like just because of his ties with LSU. He's a defensive guru. He can find an offensive coordinator. And a lot of coaches would want to coach with Dave Aranda. You know, people say, well, Dave Aranda wouldn't be a good recruiter. Man, look, LSU recruits itself. It's got the talent base here in Louisiana. And you get Texas, and he's now become a good coach in Texas, so he knows the Texas coaches. So, but it might not be Dave. It might be one of the other conference championship coaches that I mentioned early in the show. But that's my favorite right now would be Dave Aranda at Baylor. Hope everybody has a great Monday. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.